Welcome to the show, Wish Upon a Star. I'm your host, Andell Banks. Wish Upon a Star is an exciting program that showcases up-and-coming stars in the musical, visual, performing, creative, and literary arts arenas. We will discuss with professional guests about songwriting, entertainment law, literary careers, copywriting, and other topics of importance in these highly competitive industries. It gives us great pleasure to introduce our special guest this week, Laura Benson. Her biography. Laura Benson is an artist who relocated to Maryland almost 20 years ago. She chose the name for her studio, Heart to Art, for her original art imprints because they are born from her heartfelt feelings, thoughts, and emotions and come to life through her need to share the story of the community, the community's pride, its beauty, its trials, its struggles, and accomplishments. Laura works in several mediums like oils, pastels, pencil, charcoal, pen and ink, and watercolor. She has always explored ways to create while maintaining family priorities. Previously, art had always been a part-time avocation for Laura, but about 3 years ago, art has become a means of supporting her family and fulfilling a dream. Her story was told with great concern and compassion by Ron Metz of WJZ-TV Station 13 of the exposed release of contaminated steroids in 2012, which also helped to inform the public of the pain and disability that impact her life and others as well. Although her artwork output has been curtailed somewhat, she continues to use her art as a means of finding hope and purpose and to stay strong in spirit. Laura's childhood dream was to one day make a difference and give back to others. Today, she donates pieces to several charitable organizations in the Baltimore metro area. Laura's art has appeared in galleries and cultural centers, both locally and in other parts of the country. Laura has won several awards, and one of her greatest artistic accomplishments is her portrait of Lady King Peggy, which hangs in the palace in Ghana. She has also established an extensive in-home gallery inventorying hundreds of her works. She continues to create original pieces as inspirational guides. She accepts commissions, licenses her work, and creates portraits. Laura creates these spectacular artworks in her studio in Baltimore, Maryland, and can be viewed on her website at www.laurabensonoriginals.com. Laura, welcome to the show.
Andell, thank you. It's a pleasure. I truly am blessed that you invited me to speak with you today. And how are you?
Oh, just fine now that you're here.
Oh, thank you.
Okay, we've got the questions that our audience, I'm sure, is dying to find out some interesting facts about you. One, we have read in your bio, but tell us a little more or something else we might have left out in your bio.
Well, we've touched that I'm actually relocated here from Jersey about 20 years ago. I spent my childhood in Jersey. I was originally born in the Bronx in New York.
Oh.
I'm doing very well now, but as a child, I suffered as a severe asthmatic. And during my hospital stays is when I was really focusing on my art. It was an outlet to keep me smiling, to keep me sane. I loved all the things I was capable of creating, so I wasn't feeling lonely in the hospital. And as I got older, it's carried on with me. I've stayed in the arts, And now, as you mentioned, in the last 3 years, I've really focused on not only my art and creativity, but sharing it with the public, donating pieces and usages of my work, and always looking for others that would love to contact me to see if there's any way I can assist them in making things happen and making a change.
Oh, excellent. Thank you for that insight. Another thing I always ask artists is, when was that aha moment when you realized you had an overwhelming passion for art, when you considered yourself an artist and that art would be your profession?
Well, actually, ever since I was a little girl, and I jokingly tell people that I actually held a brush and pencil before I held a baby bottle, and that gets a giggle out of people. I've known in my spirit and in my soul ever since I was very young that art was a part of me, that I was truly an artist. The dilemma I ran into, and it took me years later to recognize how detrimental it could be to a child growing up, was that as a youngster in the schools, I was always being told that my creativity was a hobby, that my artistic talent was a hobby. So pretty much I was being told that who I was a hobby, that I needed to learn other things. I took that to heart, and I did learn many things. I'm capable of doing so many things, but I've always been drawn back to my arts. I like to compliment the school system now, though it can go further, how far they've come in the arts classes and how they are truly making these children ready for the art world to where they can create and make it a profession and a career for themselves. I want everyone to please recognize when the arts are in your children, please do not try to suffocate the dream. Please do not try to deter them from it. They know. They really feel it. It's a part of who they are. And you'll know you're an artist, as I've learned, that with every breath I take, I inhale my art. Every morning and all day long, I think of what I'm going to create. What message can I share? What story can I tell? What can I do to help others? I love when people view my work and they can get the message and they see a story in it, or they give me a smile and it takes them to a memory that they thought they'd forgotten. And it's a pleasure to they always say they love the colors, they love the way the pieces are designed and laid out. So I've known I was an artist and drawn to this since I was a very, very young person.
Excellent. I can identify with that with my granddaughter, who at 5 also picked up a pen or a pencil and a crayon, and she just loved my artwork because she came to my gallery. And now she tells everybody how great an artist her grandmother is.
Oh, that's wonderful. And it's true.
She is
very true.
Yes, she's very good. Laura, your artworks indicate you are proficient in working in diversified mediums, oils, pastels, pencil, charcoal, pen and ink, and watercolor. However, which medium is your preference?
Well, I must admit, I'm always drawn to oils. I love oils. I love the manipulation that I can do with them. I love how they're able to take a vision, an emotion, a thought, a feeling, and bring it to life. It may be something that you know normally you would never see, or it's an emotion that you're not able to see, but you strongly feel. And I found out of all the mediums that I work in, oil's been the one that I've been able to use to capture everything the most. I love the excitement I get when I think I'm creating or mixing one color and I do the stroke of the brush and it's created a whole different color, and it usually ends up that it's created more so what I needed for the piece than what I thought I needed to use in the piece. I love that I'm able to step away, view the piece, see the things I may change or the things that I won't touch anymore, because we all know artists never finish work. It's only finished when they walk away. And that's the thing I love with the oil painting, that I'm able to walk away, and if there is something I'd like to change, I'm still able to do so. And if I don't, then it dries perfectly. It keeps its shine. The other thing I really love about working in oils is that you're able to see the brush strokes, which give more feeling and depth and give you an idea where the artist was when they were creating the piece. I also love the way brush strokes capture lighting. And it really, it brings a realism to it. So my favorite medium is actually oil painting.
And very well defined.
Thank you.
An artist usually starts with a mental composition, a vision, and then face the proverbial blank canvas. Some people have and they think that the blank canvas must be the most challenging scenario of the creation for the artist. How do you overcome the fear, let's say, of a blank canvas?
Well, that's interesting you bring that up, and I've heard that before, and I always giggle to myself because when I see blank canvas, I actually don't feel the challenge. My challenge comes in the fact that I can see so many variations of what I'm about to create, so many different directions I can go with what I'm about to create, that my biggest challenge is zoning and focusing into exactly what I want to be the outcome, the message that I'm trying to deliver, the feeling that I want to express and share with others. So the blankness of the canvas isn't what has me with a challenge. It's really taking it down to, okay, this is exactly the direction you want to go. So mine is too many ideas when I see a blank canvas as opposed to, oh, my gosh, what am I going to do with it?
Oh, right. Okay, and that always brings us to the subject that when you tell a person you're an artist, they look at you and say, oh, yeah, oh, I wish I could do that, because they just think you're something from outer space. Myth
you're
or
not kidding.
Artists are known to see things quite differently in life with their so-called mythical third eye and lateralization of the brain hemispheres functions of the right brain and the right side of the brain and the left side of the brain. How do you explain your own creativity?
Well, actually, my creativity, I express it in it's a form of an unknown language that everyone, whether they speak the same language I do or have seen the same things I've seen, they'll receive the message. I'm able to speak with people through my artwork. As far as when people describe, like you said, oh, you're different, or oh, you're strange, or oh, I wish I could do that, or I wish I had talent, I always tell people, everyone has talent. You've got to be able to recognize your talent and also be quite honest with yourself that you have a talent and that you don't have to be looking to have a different talent. Someone else is already doing that. Recognize what you're capable of doing and do it 100%. Stay focused on it. Don't get off track with it. I tell people, no, I'm an artist. That's not strange. We artists are unique.
Oh, absolutely. And then I also tell them, just like you said, if you have a talent, it's probably hidden, probably in the back car closet somewhere, but you do have talent. You just have
right,
to
or
bring
it's a
it.
Talent they don't bring it out, or it's a talent
yeah.
they feel that's not the talent they want. They want to be able to sing. Well, there are other things you're capable of doing. Focus on that. Don't shortchange yourself. It's easy to say what you don't have, but be quite aware of what you do have.
Exactly. You know what it takes, like we have as artists, is a concentrational factor. Will
yes.
you take that time to sit down? Let's say you want to be a writer. I've had authors on the show, and they say you've got to practice, and you have to consistently work at what your particular passion is.
Yes, you stay on topic, and along with the practice, you have to truly believe in what you're doing. Believe in yourself, and don't allow others out there to take you off track or to tell you, oh, no, you're not as good as. And we as artists sometimes do that to ourselves. We'll observe
yes.
other artists' work, and we start questioning ourselves, or, oh, I can't do that. Well, actually, you're probably not supposed to be doing that, because guess what? They already have done it. This is what you're supposed to do. Follow what's in your spirit. Follow the visions and the observations that you have within you, and definitely believe in yourself. And when you get that belief so strong, then it won't be any hesitation to stay on topic. And with staying on topic, you don't get better at things if you don't practice. And
absolutely.
That's what I always do. Every day I set aside time. May not always be the same time of day, but I will always make it a point to practice. It doesn't necessarily mean I'm going to do a masterpiece or a full, complete piece because, and I'm sure you have the same thing and other artists, I have closets, I have studios full of pieces I've started. It's a part of practicing. Now, will I go back one day and finish it? Maybe. If not, that's fine. Because I still had that practice, or I was able to see the direction I really didn't want to go and change the direction. That's the beauty of art also. There isn't a right or wrong. So I can do as many different ways that I choose to do it, and that's another thing that I find myself doing. As you shared, I work in many different media. I also love to go from oil painting to sculpture, and from sculpture maybe to watercolor pieces. I always try to challenge myself with something else And I'm always surprised and quite happy that in trying to do that, I can keep practicing it to where I become better and better, if not, as I would say, professional. But I don't like to say professional because what I think is professionally done may not be someone else's viewpoint. So, yes, stay on topic and believe in yourself.
All right. That sounds like an excellent idea. We're going to take a little break, and Laura, we'll be right back. Welcome back. You're listening to Wish Upon a Star. I'm your host, Andell Banks. For comments and suggestions, please send an email to musicradio34@gmail.com. We would love to hear your comments. Our special guest this week is Laura Benson, and we will return with our conversation. Laura, when you get a positive label or title in regard to your body of artistic works, it could mean that you have arrived in the art community. You have acquired the nickname of the storyteller. Tell us how that came about.
Actually, that was years ago when my friends knew that I was an artist and knew that I did a lot of paintings and drawings. And anytime I shared the pieces with them, it always had a story with it and a title. And they would ask me, well, Laura, how do you get these titles for your pieces? And I said, actually, all my pieces that I've created started with a story, started with a reason, started with a meaning, started with a purpose. And then what I found myself having to do was to consolidate that down into the title. So every piece has a story with it and a story behind it. And the more that I would share the stories, that's when they started calling me the storyteller.
Oh, wow. Can you give us a little example of some of the themes of your exhibits or some of your paintings? Because I've got your website, and I'm going to give it to people so that they can go online.
Okay. Well, I have an oil painting, and this one has several flowers in it and a butterfly. And with the butterfly is landing on one particular flower, and that's called I Chose You. And that was my thinking and feeling as far as we and relationships and how we meet one another. And we can think that we're all alike or we're doing the same thing that other people are doing, so why did that person select you over me? And it's the attraction, and it's the you're meant for each other, and that's where the butterfly chose the flower. I have other pieces. I have one piece with a gentleman that's playing a piano, and as he's leaning over, it's his reflection, and that piece is called Reflections of Creativity. And I feel anytime I spend the time with myself and thinking, or I have different ideas coming through my mind, they're a reflection of me. And my way of showing the reflection of the creativity was to do the man with the reflection of himself and being aware of you are a creative person, you do have talent, because that's what a lot of us run into, that we don't recognize the talent that we have, or we're constantly criticizing our talent. I have another piece that's called Piggyback, and that's a piece of a little baby who's getting a piggyback ride from their father. And I did that piece with the story behind it as far as our childhood and the memories and the fun, innocent times that we have. I mean, Andell, you know, and you've seen my gallery. We could talk all day with all the different pieces.
Oh, but absolutely.
Any and every piece, yes, and you've visited any and every piece when people come, and I'll go over and they'll ask me, and I can tell them every story about every piece, and then I get the look of the question, how do you remember every title and every piece? And it's because every title and every piece is a part of me. And it's
right.
So deep inside of me to create it that it doesn't leave, and it's not supposed to. And I'm able to share every piece and every story.
You're quite right, and I've enjoyed looking at all of them. It was almost so mind-boggling. And I think I like the one with the kids playing in the playground.
B-ball.
Yeah.
That was a vision, yes, of the innocent fun times and when you go out to the park and see the kids playing games and the basketball and just the innocent and also the background with the houses and how the neighborhood all comes together. And when I did that piece, I was remembering back when they still had block parties and the neighborhood would close the streets down. So the story and the memories, that's what I really try to give back in those, the memories of different times for people. And that's
and it was
smile
such detail, too. That's another thing that I admired in it. It was very detailed. Artists familiarize themselves with the neighborhood, just like you do, and the art community. Art circles by volunteering, formulating art workshops, and sometimes public speaking. I know you do a number of things within the community. Give us some background about that work.
Well, actually, before the last several years, everything had happened to me, I really hadn't gotten to a stage to be out in the community and to share my works. And thankful, I was introduced to an artist, and he took me under his wing, and he started familiarizing me with different organizations, different events going on, different artists. And I found to my surprise, and what a wonderful surprise it was, that the community of artists is such a wonderful community, such a friendly community. Uh-huh. A lot of people have the negative thought that we're competitive with one another or we're trying to outdo one another, and that is not the case at all. As far as the sharing also, and I always tell people anytime they need me to assist them in any fundraisers or any type of advertising they need. So I became a part of Sisters for Sisters Against Domestic Violence. I've donated usage. I've donated pieces to the Cancer Foundation. And we can go on and on. And my biggest, ever since I was a child, the prayer I always prayed was, Dear Lord, please allow me the ability to give back and make a change in the world. And through my arts, and as recent time has come on, he's allowing that to happen. But again, the community is, like I say, you are the company you keep. And we all need a strong village around us. Well, I have found it to be true that the art community and those involved in it are a wonderful village, and people I am proud to say are the company that I keep.
Oh, great. I think that's a very valid point, and I might want to reiterate what you had just said so that our listeners can know who are artists. Networking with other artists in the community, and sharing. Mm-hmm. That's a very important point because, like you said, when I do shows, if I do show with someone else, somebody may think you're in competition with that person.
And that's
but
not
like
the
you
case,
said,
then.
It's not really that all the time, because when I did the shows with a couple other people, their work didn't look like anything like mine. So really,
right,
it was
so
a complementary factor of the scope of the artwork that's in the particular community.
Exactly. It's a mixture. And you're
yeah.
getting to enjoy so many different styles and so many different people that you're meeting and just speaking with the artists. I mean, the stories they have to share
yeah.
and their history and their journey, that we share that amongst one another. Now, I agree, it's not always the case, but the majority, it is that way because there are those of us such as you and I and the others that are making it that way. We're inviting one another in. We're learning from one another. We're sharing with one another. And that is wonderful, and it's allowing the viewer to experience so much more. The art is infinite, and who doesn't want all the different things going on that they can view, that they can be a part of, and sometimes they can even touch and feel. I do some pieces of work that I ask people, touch it, feel the strokes, feel the different grains. I mean, be a part of it. So, yes, we have a wonderful community, and we always
yeah.
invite others to be a part of it.
You're making me feel so passionate now because I think about the shows I had, and when people ask me, girl, I just like I'm on a stage.
Mm-hmm.
I
yes.
start performing because they seem like they're so interested. Like one painting I had was called Visions. They thought it was a man in jail, but it wasn't. Because he was behind these window panes, it looked like bars.
Mm-hmm.
But I said, no, he's not in jail. He's thinking about the things that he could have done in his life. And here he is now, maybe 70 years old. What has he done? And they went like, I sold that painting right away.
Yes, and that's it. The story's behind the piece. And when the artist is sharing with you all that the piece means or represents or where they were at when they created it, you just described a piece. And again, how we have similar feelings, emotions, and thoughts, but how different we are able to create the piece. And I had a piece similar to what you just described, and that piece was called Let It Rain. Let It Rain. He was looking out of a window, and he was sitting in a room by himself, and it was allow this to wash away. This too shall pass, but just let it rain.
Oh, that sounds great. Oh, well, we better go back to what our guests might want to know.
Oh, okay. Yes, okay.
You know how we talk. We talk when I came to your show. We talk for hours. All right, Laura.
And there's no such thing as time.
You know, we paint. Sometimes we make our own frames, but we also would like to sell our works. How do you find an audience for the sale of your artworks?
Well, I'm doing a lot of trial and error, but what I'm finding is with the social network, persons interested in viewing pieces, I have pieces that I show on Facebook. I also have my website, and then I also do my in-home gallery shows, and it's amazing the advertisement of word of mouth. And that's where a lot of my new visitors to my gallery come from. They'll come in, and they'll just be so excited, and they'll share with me who they spoke with and who was at my previous show and all that they were told, and then they step in and like, oh, my gosh, I could not imagine this is what I was getting ready to walk into. And you're a witness to that.
Oh, absolutely.
The other things that I've been trying to do are visiting other galleries in other locations and seeing as far as if there's an opportunity for me to display some of my pieces there. I also look into, and as a matter of fact, Downtown Cultural Arts Center is a location that I have pieces hanging there. So I try to see who's in need of artwork or who's interested in artwork, and then I do a lot of research and I look up on the computer a lot. Right now it's word of mouth, it's networking online, Facebook, and it's having in-home gallery shows. And I try to do it on a regular schedule so that way people are looking forward to the next show or don't have to wait too long to see their first show. And again, the word of mouth is the greatest. I always try to do my promotion cards, hand them out. As I said, go to different events. And that's something else that sometimes you're a little leery of. And when other artists came to my gallery show, they share with me how nice it was of me that I always say, if you have your cards or any promotional material, please feel free to share it with the guests and visitors here. And they thought, just as people think, oh, we're in competition, and oh, my gosh, you're going to allow us to do this? And I always say, I am blessed to share my blessings. Of course, I'm going to allow you to share all and everything that you can, because it's not just about me. This is a group effort. This is a sharing everything that we're blessed with others. So I do promotion cards. I do networking. I do Facebook, my website. And I also do outside events that I'm becoming more familiar with on the calendar of events. So there are many different ways that I do it, and I'm still tweaking. This is still all new to me.
Right. So that's another exemplary factor that you've just brought up. How do I connect to people to sell my artwork? I hear that quite a bit for my up-and-coming artists. So to reiterate that, you said go on the network, use the technology, Facebook, social network, other galleries. I even went to New York and checked out some galleries. They have galleries in New York. I know some people might be scared, say, oh, I know I can't go there, but you can. And they had a book where they showed where there were galleries in New York that introduced new artists.
Mm-hmm.
So
you'll
don't be afraid
that
to do that. So the point that you're bringing up is quite right. You just have to get out there and display your work.
And also another thing I found is become members. Become a member of different organizations, different art groups.
Yeah.
I always receive where they're inviting artists to be a part of their organization, or they're inviting artists to show, or they're looking for ideas for a show to have for different months with the different Downtown Cultural Arts Center. So they're looking for ideas. And no one stops you but you. If you're asking how to do it, then ask yourself, are you willing to do what needs to be done to make it happen? And that's what we were talking about earlier as far as staying on track and believing in yourself. Because I've run into the same question from other artists, but then as they go along, I can see or they'll say, well, that seems like a lot of work. Well, no one said this was going to be easy. It is a lot of work. And it's a wearing of many hats, because not only are we the creative side of this, but we also have to, as you just pointed out, the advertising, research, marketing, and so on, accounting, all of that is involved. And that's what they have to be quite aware of before they want to take these steps. This doesn't come easy, but when you really believe in it and you're really focused on it, it is such a pleasure when you step back and look at what you've accomplished and look forward to what else you're getting ready to do and make happen.
Absolutely. And on that note, we're going to take a break and we'll be right back. Welcome back to Wish Upon a Star. I'm your host, Andell Banks. For any comments and suggestions, which we really invite, please send an email to musicradio34 @gmail.com. We are broadcasting from www.bbsradio.com, Station 2. Again, for any comments or suggestions, please send an email to musicradio34@gmail.com. We welcome back our very special guest, Lauren Benson. Lauren, can you enlighten us about how to promote the growth of an artist community? How should they interact with that community in a supportive manner rather than a competitive mode? Now, you touched on that on the previous question, but I noticed that a lot of cities are upgrading their art introduction because it makes the city draw in more people and absolutely makes it more beautiful. If you've noticed that in Baltimore they have the crab, everybody just thought those crabs were gorgeous. Then they have the elephant. So how can an artist who is sitting back in their studio wondering, I can really get out there and do something, but how do I do it?
Well, and this is what I've been doing. I look at the city, I look at what direction I'm trying to go, and I also research what would make a difference in the city. What are we in need of? What are they looking for? And I have to really focus, because you can have a million ideas, and we know that's true as artists, but you've really got to tune in and focus on one and put together your idea. Also have your presentation ready and be thoroughly informed as to why you're doing the piece, what is really being asked of you, if there is a project that they're requesting or artists, or they're asking artists to propose or send a proposal to. That I find artists that will have a lot of pieces and they look around to see which one would fit into it, which is fine and nice, but I really believe you should start from scratch and do your research. See how you can make a difference, or what would be nice if you saw that changed or handled differently, and put it all together, and don't be afraid of failure and don't be afraid of rejection. You're putting 100% of yourself into it and behind yourself. Take it forward. Show it, because no one will ever see your ideas or see what you're doing if you don't look for the opportunities and you don't take advantage of those opportunities. Also, stay in contact with other artists, because there are a lot of different things that are going on that you may not be aware of. So communication is also a big part of this. I'm finding this out every day. I can go and see different events that artists are going to, or different awards they've won, or different talk events that they're doing. You've got to be on top. You've got to be willing to do your research, list the things, keep a calendar. But definitely first recognize what direction you want to go and what you want to be recognized for doing. You want to put a positive out there. You want to have it all backed up thoroughly. Don't half-step on anything, because with an artist, you can come as high as you can and you can fall very hard. And with artists, it's very hard to be criticized or have people say, oh, well, I didn't like that. That's fine when you know you did 100% of it. So, again, talk to other artists. Look up different events. I mean, there are so many sites out there that, like you were saying, as far as with the crabs. Well, someone had to look up to see what was needed and necessary, and they followed through on it. Right now, I'm in the process of doing a project, a piece, and this is to help save the rhinos, elephants, and tigers from becoming extinct. I did my research on the piece. I did my little thumbnail sketches. I've changed things. I've adjusted things, and now I'm to the stage of doing the final piece. And I've already recognized that if I don't win the contest, that's fine. If they choose to use the piece for other advertising, my goal is to help make a difference, to help change things, whether it be schools, whether it be abuse, whether it be disease, even down to animals. I don't want any of these animals to go extinct. And if people aren't aware of this situation happening, it's going to keep happening. So that's where my project is. But that came from researching, and that came from me being honest with myself. What am I capable of doing? Do I really stand behind what I'm about to do? And how do I get this to the right people? So, again, research, research, research. It takes work.
You're absolutely right. And like I said, I know my listeners, I hope they're taking notes, because that was a lot of information. To piggyback on that, when my mother was in a senior citizen center, I went there, get provided entertainment. And now, even now, Saturday, I have an appointment to to give a proposal for art workshop.
Mm-hmm.
At a senior center.
The giving back.
Senior citizen center. I'm so close to it. That's why I stumble when I say it, because
mm-hmm.
I'll probably eventually be in one very soon.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was really nice. You know, that now I've got that. I also am a member of the senior citizens organization, and I do shows for them with my jazz. I did a couple
mm-hmm.
of shows for them for the aged at their different centers. So you made a good point. Go out there. Some of my artists are very good church members. I had one show, and they brought all the members from church.
It's the giving back that is so wonderful
yes.
and enjoyable, that you're giving of yourself. It's not costing you anything, and it's making a difference in others' lives and situations. You were mentioning Senior Citizen Center. I also, not original pieces, but I have prints of my work that hang in a senior citizen facility that they were renovating, and they were bringing it up, and they said that the color and the stories and
right.
the actual subject matter of my pieces were very inspiring to the residents and very pleasant for them to look at, and it really motivated them. The next step, just as you were saying, I was going to be going in and doing art classes with the residents. And I love the feeling of giving back. And as you give back, and as people are aware of what you're doing for others, then that's when they'll contact you. But it all starts with you having to do your research and let people know you exist and what you're capable of doing, and that you are positive and confident in what you're doing. Because you've got to have that first, because people truly recognize if you're not sure of yourself, then why would they be? So, yes, do your research and always, always, always be willing to give back.
You're absolutely right. As we know, when there is a economic downturn, the arts seem to be the first that get cut.
You are right about that.
Economic period, right. There are many artists that do great works, but they just can't seem to get ahead as fast as they would like. What advice would you give to struggling artists in this strained economic period?
Well, what I've done, and it's not always easy, because we know our being artists, it's a very, very costly investment, but you're investing in yourself. So what I've done is I've had prints of my works created, which it's the quality of the original, yet it's not the price of the original works. So they can have a beautiful piece of work that they really, really want to have, but at a more affordable price. What I've also done is I've created other pieces or other products from my works that are more affordable. So it's a letting the purchasers and your supporters know, I have something for you that you can afford, and I'm thinking about you, as opposed to I just want to make a lot of money. That's the other thing. It's the mindset that you go into the field of art. If you're going in it to make quick, fast money, sorry, that's not usually going to be the case. If you're going into it recognizing there are going to be ups and downs, then that's where you have to prepare yourself for your ups and downs.
Mm-hmm.
When you do sell pieces, how are you investing your money? What are you doing with the finances? Also having a variety of different price ranges that people can walk out with a smile on their face knowing they have something of quality, but it didn't drain their budget. It didn't drain their bank accounts. So what I do is I have pieces and prints in all different price ranges to try to touch everyone's affordability.
Right. Throughout the past, you have been committed to the joy of painting, creating positive compositions of the people in the community life, and donating your time. What role does that art or your art play in your life today?
My art in my life, not only today, but throughout my whole life, has been my saving grace. My art has, and I tell people this, and I'm not ashamed to say it, my art has saved my life. My art has enabled me to go in places that bring me comfort, that allow me to let out whatever's going on inside of me, to allow me to express what I've observed in society or other people's situations. It's my place of freedom. It's my comfort place. It's me. I am such in a wonderful place when I'm creating. So again, my art has saved my life, and I believe it's also done a lot for other people, whether it be in donating it, whether it be in them seeing a piece that means so much to them that any time and every time they look at it, it brings back that perfect moment or that beautiful feeling they have. And as I said, as a child, even though I was being told it was just a hobby, I had gone through a lot as a little girl, and that was the one thing, and as I said earlier, that kept me sane, that kept a smile on my face. It gives me something to look forward to, along with other things, but every day I wake up, I am so excited on what am I going to create, or what idea and vision is going to come to me, or how am I going to get this out and share it with others. My art is, I am art, and my art is me. It's my saving grace.
Oh, absolutely.
Even with everything
and
that happens.
A lot of artists can identify with that, that even if they don't really make a lot of money, I've read somewhere, too, in my research, Laura, that art is a gift. And when it be a gift, one cannot expect great pay from it. I thought
and
that
you hit
was
it on,
profound.
That is so wonderful. And I tell people,
if you're gifted, we are gifted. Most
art,
artists are gifted, real, you know, the ones that really love it
and make
a passion.
Lot of money.
What do you think
but
about
we
that?
We all know
statement.
I still need to make money in order to support buying my supplies and being able to go to the different places to share it. But
yeah.
No, I don't do it to make money, but money is necessary to keep it going. And I
right.
say, and like you said, it's a part of us artists. That's when I say you have the true artists. The blessing of being an artist, the blessing of the talent. And as I always say, that if you don't use it, you'll lose it. And that goes back to practicing every day. Then you have the artists that I say are true artists from the heart, that it's so natural to them, just as when every breath you take. And then you have artists that are trained on different techniques and how to do things. But a lot of times you don't really feel the piece, or you're not really being taken somewhere that you may not have ever been taken in the piece. It becomes more commercialized.
Excellent.
I love to be surrounded by true artists. I mean, the energy that's involved with it, the positive, the support, the motivation, the inspiration, it is amazing. It's a wonderful feeling being amongst other artists such as yourself and others as it is when I'm creating a piece.
You're absolutely right, and I'm glad you said it because I feel that same way. Even if I don't make a lot of money, I think my paintings sell because people can see that I put heart and passion into the painting. You can actually, people may not believe that, but you're true. You're absolutely correct. You can feel the heart and the passion that's in a piece, just like music.
That's what came, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Exactly. That's where my pieces are called, or my company's Laura Benson Originals, and it all started originally being called, and still is, Heart to Art, because my heart goes into my artwork. And it's interesting you said such as music, and I'll share that with people that the stroke of my brush is as words are in a song,
exactly.
The way they flow, the feeling that you get, the places that it's able to take you. So I'll be honest, I can't sing a note, but I can paint one for you. So where a person will sing the words, I do the brush strokes of the words.
I understand, and I agree with you. I do a little karaoke, but, you know, that's...
okay.
That's not here.
I won't even try that, no.
Right. Exhibits give an audience an overview of the artist's themes, their style, and scope of work. When will your next show be held?
Well, actually, I'm going to be having a show December 6th and 7th, Saturday and Sunday from 2 to 6 p.m. And I almost forgot to share this with you. The Smithsonian Institute is also going to be doing a show, or coming to my gallery, as an artist tour. It's a bus tour.
Ooh.
And yes, they bring the whole bus of people that would love to see my artwork, and that's going to be happening here in my gallery on December 13th. So I have a busy schedule coming up.
Let's repeat
and
that
also
again.
My gallery.
So somebody can take those notes. December
6th and 7th from 2 to 6 p.m., and it's an in-home gallery show. And the address would be 4210 Campfield Place, Pikesville, Maryland, 21208. And I'll give the number in case anyone needs to call for directions. That would be 410-653-0468. And also, my gallery is open for private shows Monday through Sunday by appointment. So anyone could give me a call, and we can schedule an appointment, and they can come in and have a private show of my gallery.
I'm going to put that on your profile once we complete the show. Commission pieces can be a lucrative source of income for the artist, but the requests can be varied and out of your possible expertise. With a hard sell like portraits, do you like doing portraiture work?
I enjoy it at times. Yes, it can bring a lucrative salary coming in. The dilemma I run into is my art comes so naturally and it flows with me so naturally that when it comes to portraits, it seems as though I'm being forced to go in a direction that I may not want to go, and then I don't always end up being able to do, I'm not going to say the best, because they always, like we know, we're our own worst critics. I will never release a piece that's not perfect in my eyes. But it takes away from the whole being a part of it. The thing I run into, and I have to be very honest with people, I do photographs. I don't do in-house sittings for portrait work. That exactly what's in the photo is going to be exactly what they're going to receive. And we both know this to be true. Sometimes people expect you to do plastic surgery or change the direction of the person or add more body parts to the person.
Right.
No, we don't do that. We create exactly what you present to us. Now, what I do like in portrait works that I've had people commission me to do, I share with them, choose a photograph that when you see it, it brings back a fond memory, or it's actually the person's true look and expression, puts a smile on your face. I've done some pieces where the people were at a cookout or at a birthday party or a little baby sticking a tongue out or playing in a crib. Those I love doing. I really feel a part of those because we've all seen portrait work of ourselves as far as photographs with the perfect sitting and the lighting perfect, and then they look at it and say, but that doesn't really look like me. And it's because you're not being natural. I love to do portraits from photos of the person being themselves.
Right.
Having fun, laughing, joking with a family member they haven't seen in a long time. That's the type of portrait work I really ask people. When you really want a piece done and this becomes a family heirloom, let it be a piece that you will always look at with a smile on your face and a fond memory.
Excellent. I'm going to take a little break, and we'll be right back before our last session. We'll be right back with Laura Benson. Welcome back. This is Wish Upon a Star. I'm your host, Andell Banks. Again, we would like to hear your comments and suggestions. Please send them to our email, musicradio34@gmail.com. We are broadcasting on BBS Radio. .com station 2. Our guest is Laura Benson. Laura, we're getting ready to more or less wind down. So some of the questions we have now is mostly about your particular work. I collect originals, and I'm just like you. I like to do and sell originals. But to reiterate what you had said about prints, are prints a good source of selling art pieces, and are prints of your work usually available at your exhibits?
Well, I have a numerous amount of different prints that are always available at my exhibit. I also have information in reference to a printer that I have by the name of Kenya, and his print work is amazing. At times, I have to separate my original from the print. And actually label them. I've almost made that mistake. I've listed an original as a print and vice versa. I have him do the prints, and also we have that a person can see a piece, an original that they like, and there may be a different size of that original that they'd like to have. So he also takes orders for specific sizes that a person may be interested in prints. I also like that prints are easily movable when I do other events that aren't in my gallery. Because I run into the sizes of my pieces, and also we know this to be true. We don't always want our original works out in the weather or having to be transported continuously. So that gives me quite a bit of ease in getting my pieces out and around to different places so people can see them. Again, the printer gentleman that I have, his name is Kenya. He's amazing. Also, as far as income, it's wonderful that I have the prints, because if I'm not selling originals at that time, or like you said, with the economical situation that people aren't really looking to buy an original as opposed to pay their other bills, that they do buy my prints. They do sell very well, And they're of great quality. I mean, the quality is amazing. And he also does glacé works, so people can have a piece on canvas just as the original may be on canvas. And again, the print work that he does, you are very unlikely to be able to tell the original from the print.
That's absolutely correct. I've seen a lot of it. The only reason why I asked that question, because I find that people think they can ask you to lower the prices on a print more so than on an original. And then sometimes,
right.
I know I have did a print of something I thought was beautiful to me, but it didn't sell. But it didn't sell like I thought it would. And then, of course, there's the other ones that do. As an artist, sometimes people are going to ask me, well, who is some of your favorite artists, or who? And I can never tell them, other than the fact I like Renaissance, so I really don't have any artists that I favor or copy. Do you?
No, actually, I don't, and it's interesting because I'm also the same way within music. It's not necessarily a specific artist or the style of music or style of artwork. I just know what works I'm drawn to or what music I love to hear. And you were just speaking as far as a piece that you thought was going to sell, and it was wonderful, or a print. I go through the same thing where, okay, this is going to be great, this is going to be a top seller, and that piece may never even be looked at, and then pieces you may not even remember or think about sell off the rack, like, I mean, immediately. I have difficulty also when I'm asked to do shows when they say, okay, well, pick out a few pieces and bring them. Well, again, you've seen my gallery. Do you know how hard it is to pick out a few pieces from hundreds of pieces of artwork?
Right.
So even with my own artwork, depends on my emotions, the timing. It could be a matter of a lot of different things on when I'm drawn to a piece and when I'm not really feeling the piece. And it's interesting because I'm the artist of the piece. So I go through that back and forth on what pieces am I going to take where, what pieces do I think will sell, pieces. Or that the other thing we run into when people say, oh, well, you should paint this type of work. And that's when I go back to, I'm an artist. I'm not a commercial artist to just do the type of work. Oh, well, people are interested in this style right now, so let me do that style. Or people are interested in just black and whites now, so let me just do black and white. My artwork is always where I'm at that moment, the feeling, again, the emotion, the message that may need to be delivered, the purpose of the piece. A lot more is entailed in it as opposed to, okay, just do this kind of work because that's what you want to sell or that's what people are looking for. Now, I do commission pieces where people will sit with me and I ask them, sit with me and just talk to me. Just share with me what you're looking for, the size that you're interested in, whether it be color, black and white, oil, charcoal, pastel, and then give me a little information as to why you're looking for this type of work or where you're going to be hanging it or what purpose is it playing. And when we talk and talk and talk, as they're speaking with me, I'm getting a vision, I'm getting a feeling, I'm really going into that zone. And before they know it, I've come up with thumbnails, I've come up with sketches, and then I've come up with the final piece, and they've always been happy with them. Usually amazed, like, how did you know? It's like, you could read my mind. It's like, just talk to me, just let me listen to you, let me get a feeling of where you're at with this, and then I take it from there.
Great. And I certainly do commend you on being that passionate and being that detailed, and that's what I do too. As we get ready to sign off, Laura, can you give our listeners your contact information and your website?
Yes, thank you. Laura Benson Originals, gallery address 4210 Campfield Place, Pikesville, Maryland, 21208, contact phone number 410-653-0468. Gallery hours Monday through Sunday by appointment. My website, www.laurabensonoriginals.com, and my pieces can also be viewed on Facebook at Laura Benson Originals.
Laura, thank you so much. I will get in contact with you later in the week. We're signing off, and I want to say thank you so much.
And I thank you from the bottom of my heart for allowing me and inviting me to be a speaker with you. It's always a pleasure.
Great. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Wish Upon a Star. We're saying, for comments and suggestions, please send an email to musicradio34@gmail.com. We are broadcasting on bbsradio.com, station 2, Wish Upon a Star. This is Andel and your host, and Denise Banks, our coordinator, saying, keep reaching for the stars.